Turn to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9, we're going to start on verse 6. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure you dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from whence come ye? I'm going to bring 2 points during my sermon. The first one is going to be on the questions that are being asked in this chapter. The first one will be what Joshua had said, Who are you and where do you come from? The next one will be on the question that the men of Israel ask, and they said, How shall we make a league with you? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word that you have given us to guide us and lead us. Lord, help us not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Amen. Lord, we pray that you would just guide us and lead us and speak to everyone that's here. Lord, we pray above all things that you would be glorified. And if there's anyone lost in this building, Lord, I pray you speak to their hearts. We pray for souls to be saved and Christians revived. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, the book of Joshua, I've been reading it for quite a while. And this past week, I've been spending a lot of time on this chapter. I wanted to get a message and finally the Lord just led me to these questions, to try to answer these questions. But you know, many times we read the book of Joshua and we think that it's just a mere historical book. We look at it as maybe that this is just when Israel crossed the Jordan, that they had a lot of battles and they had many victories, a few disappointments. But you know, the thing is that God says in His Word that His words, they are spirit and they are life. So we read, and what we find in here is that the Lord has a lot of instructions for us. You know, you have been called to be a witness. You've also been called to be a soldier for the Lord. So when we read this, we find the fights, the problems that Christians face. But of course, in here in this chapter, what I'm going to be trying to point out to you is the enemy. We ought not to be ignorant of his devices. He knows you very well. You ought to also know him. Any time that competitors get into a competition, I guarantee you they study their opponent. Whether they're into boxing, they're going to make sure that they know all the moves this guy has. What are his weaknesses? Does he have a weak jaw, or should I go to the body? The same way with the Spurs, I guarantee you they'll be seeing all the film of the Dallas Mavericks to see what is their weakness, what do we have to do. That's what they did with the LA. They knew what they had to do. They studied the film. You get to know your enemy real good. And in the spiritual sense, beloved, we also need to know who our enemy is and how we can win the fight. And of course, the Bible does tell you that we are not ignorant of his devices. But you know, before I get into chapter 9, I'm going to give you a short summary. I only read a few verses. But let me give you a short summary to begin with. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23, God had already told Moses that Israel was going to be crossing into Canaan. And he says that when you cross over there, you're going to be meeting with these kings. And he mentioned all the kings that we have on Joshua chapter 9. Every single one of them, he gave the name. He says, when you get to these people, I want you to destroy all these people. All the land that I'm going to give you, you're going to have to knock everybody out. But you know, he also told him, I'm going to send my angel before you. Him will you listen to. Do not provoke. My name is in his name. In other words, he sinned in the Lord Jesus. He's going to send them before them. And one of the things he also told them at the end of that chapter, in chapter 23, he says, don't make a league with these people. I will explain to you later on why it's important that you don't make a league with these people. But you know, the thing is that now we're up to chapter 9 in the book of Joshua. They had already crossed into the Jordan. They were already in the land of Canaan. They had already destroyed two cities. They had knocked out Jericho, and they had also knocked out Ai. Of course, with the battle of Ai, they had a few disappointments. Nevertheless, just because in your life, beloved, just because you have had a few fights, spiritual fights, and you have won a few, don't ever think that the devil just lays down and he quits. He doesn't quit on you. He knows you, and he's going to come after you. And this is what we have in here. We have the kings have gotten together, and they have come, and they're not afraid. When the devil has lost a few battles, what he does is he regroups. He has many in his company. So that's what we have here on chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. We have the names of these kings that have gotten together to fight against Israel. And of course, the Bible also tells us that that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And of course, right now what we see, this is the first phase of Satan. He's showing us the roaring lion. He gets together. He wants to destroy you. He wants to tear you apart. That is the job of the lion. He wants to tear you apart, and this is what the devil also does. He is like a roaring lion. He has formed and gotten all his people with him, and they're ready to perform that which the lion does. On the other hand, we also have the Gibeonites, who decided to take a different approach. They come to Joshua, and they're going to try to be real subtle about it. They're going to try to come and bring their life. This is the other way that Satan also likes to get at you. He's known as the serpent. The serpent is very subtle, just like what he did with Eve. So we have here, he is also a liar. He is the father of lies. So he comes with lies, and he's going to get you one way or another. He'll either get you as the roaring lion, or he's going to get you as that serpent. So, you know, we need to be very well aware of who he is and what he wants to do. Amen. But, you know, the Bible does tell us that the names of all these kings. You know, many times I would read the names of all these tribes, the Jebusites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and I would, most of the time I would just skip it. It's a waste of time, or so I thought. But you know, if the Spirit of God put it in here, He did it for a reason. Amen. He wants you to know something about these people. In other words, you can do some research on these guys and find out who they really are. And that's why the Lord has given it to you. Many years ago, when I was a young policeman, we used to have a law called the vagrancy laws. And they used to be real good because we would... especially that I worked in the west side, I knew where all the dope connections were, and I would go and find guys hanging around that were dope addicts. I would go and talk to them, and I would see their marks on their arms. I knew they were dope heads. I would ask for identification, and most of the time they would say, I don't have any. But we had the vagrancy laws. If they say, I don't have any, we just take them in and get them checked and find many times they were wanted. So this was our way of being able to get people off the street who were up to no good. They were always stealing, and that's how they made their money, by stealing from somebody, selling it, and then buying their dope. But they took it away. And of course, I know that it was abused. I was also one of those that abused it, but I was doing it for a good reason. But the point is, beloved, that it's good to know somebody's name. It's good so that you can run it to see if he's wanted, and that's what God has given you here. He's given you the name of six kings, and there's a reason for it. But I did the research for you. I went ahead and ran the criminal history. So I got the first one. The first one is going to be the Hittite, the king Hittite. And this guy is the one that brings discouragement. That's what his name means. It means discouragement. It means fear. It means breakdown. It means confusion. He's been spotted around the area. He's been knocking in people's doors. Has he been coming by your door to discourage you with the things in life? I know he's been coming knocking at mine. He goes to anybody, he don't care who he is, especially Christians. He wants to knock you down. He wants to take away your joy. He wants you to have a sad face. He don't want you to be happy. This guy is extremely active. You need to report him. You need to get him out of the neighborhood. You know, I got into a business where they're supposed to call me and give me yards so that I can go and cut them. And they haven't been giving me too many yards at all. I haven't been making too much money. So I got into another little area. It's called Dangerous Premises. On this one, I have to go and look at them. And then I have to bid. And there's only about four guys doing the bidding along with me. On the other one, there's 24 and I'm getting very little. But anyway, last week I didn't have a chance to really bid or look at two of the houses out of about 15. And of course, I put my bid. I didn't get none of them. But I said, maybe I might get lucky. I'm going to put on two other ones. Maybe I'll get one of these. So I put on one of them, $285. I figured, how bad can that house be? $285, maybe make a few trips to the dump yard, maybe work all day. I'll still make maybe $100, $150. And they call me. He said, Trini, you got this one for $285. So I went and looked at it, and they also give me the paper that gives who else bid on this, and the closest to me was $425. The other ones went to $500, and one of them was $750. I said, man, what did I get myself into? I went and looked at that house, and it had bamboo completely covered, all the way about 12 feet high. You couldn't even walk or see nothing. It had been an old dope house where they used to push dope. It hadn't been clean, according to the neighbors, in 4 years. I had to go and hire somebody from the street. And I took my tractor and I began to bulldoze the whole thing. I worked all day Friday. I made three trips to the dump yard. I had to come back again Saturday, and I worked all day Saturday from 8:30 in the morning till 6 in the afternoon. I made six trips to the dump yard, and when I calculated what I paid, I wind up paying $305, but I'm getting $285. I worked for two solid days, and I paid money to do this job. You don't think I'm discouraged? Let me tell you, this devil knows exactly what he needs to do. He probably is the one that guided me to put $285 on that thing. Or maybe the Lord knew that I was going to come and preach on this character, on the Hittite, and he wanted to make sure that I had some real experience to tell you. Nevertheless, beloved, this guy is real bad. And you know, I was telling my worker, you know, his name is Jose, he's a good worker. I said, Jose, I wish I could really say I'll never make this mistake again. I told my wife about 50 times, I'll never make this mistake again. She told me 50 times, don't make this mistake again. My son told me about 30 times, don't do it again, Dad. Let me tell you what I know about the scriptures. We make the same mistake over and over. That's what I see. And I was just looking and thinking about, look at Joshua. He had made a mistake on chapter 7. They had gotten whipped because they didn't inquire of the Lord. And then you would think, well, he's going to be paying real close attention now. But here comes the Gibeonites and they fool him. And it says on verse 14 that they did not inquire of the Lord. Did he make a mistake again? But you know, look at Abraham. Abraham denied his wife once. There's no doubt in my mind that she told him, you better not ever do it again. Don't ever deny me again. Did he learn his lesson? A few chapters down the road, he does it again. He denies his wife again two times. Look at Peter. Peter denied the Lord, and the Lord got after him and rebuked him and said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Three times until he felt so bad, you would think, man, Peter really learned his lesson. No, he didn't. Later on, Paul had to come and approach him because he was denying the brothers. Those that were the Gentile brothers, he was denying them. He would be ashamed of them. Every time that the Jewish people would come, he would be ashamed and deny them. You know, continually we make the same mistake. But he's not the only one. I look at John. John was taken up to heaven to go and see what he had to write, the book of Revelation. And you find him in chapter 19 where he bowed down to an angel. And the angel told him, get up, I'm one of you. I'm one of the servants. And I'm sure that he paid real close attention. Okay, I better not do this again. He was told, you worship God. You don't worship me. You don't bow down to an angel. You would think, man, he's going to pay close attention two chapters down the road. And if he does it again, another angel had to tell him, get up, I'm also a servant just like you. So you see, beloved, throughout the scriptures, we find that we'll make the same mistake over and over. We don't seem to learn. We're hard-headed. Not only that, but I've talked to other contractors who have told me the same thing. They said, Trini, I have done work where it has cost me money. Not only once, I've done it several times. So that's why I told my worker, I wish I could say, I'll never do it again. But I already know. We fail all the time. But look at the second character, the second king. He's called an Amorite. You won't forget his name because the word amor, love, self-love, this guy is very sneaky. He uses many disguises. He's very popular with the world. But you know, he likes to hang around church members. He is real good at doing this. And you know, every time there's destruction, every time there's a crime scene, you can find his fingerprints. All you have to do is go throw a little bit of dust from the Word of God, and his fingerprints show up all over the place. Anytime there's destruction, you will find this king is involved. His name is Pride. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction. This guy will always be in front of you. He'll always be preparing the road for you. You know, that's why Isaiah said, woe unto him who weareth the crown of pride. You know, we are so proud, and this king is extremely good. But you know, the thing is that even though he will fool you, many of us fool ourselves. Our own flesh fools us. Because we have been trained by this guy so much that we don't even have him. We don't need him to come push our buttons. We push our own buttons. Right. We're always so proud and boastful about everything. But you know what the Bible says? In the book of Micah chapter 6, it says, and why does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Amen. You know, he says this is a requirement. It's not a suggestion. It's a requirement for you to walk humbly. But yet, what happens to us? We have sisters that don't talk to sisters. We have spouses that won't talk to each other. And you have made the same mistake over and over, and you think you would learn, okay, I'm not going to tell her this no more. Next time you do it again and you got another fight, you don't learn. But you know, pride, beloved, it breaks down so many churches. All you have to do is start talking about somebody else, and when you do that, you will lift yourself up. It's nothing but pride. I wonder if the Lord would really magnify us right now and show us how many of us are really wearing that crown of pride. We might be very surprised. But you know, we also have the other ones. We have the Canaanites. This guy likes to humiliate. Once you're humiliated, it don't matter in what. You go down. You don't want to come up again. So many people have done things, and the devil has caused you to do things, or your own flesh has caused you to do things, and you wind up getting humiliated, and you drop out of the race. Christians that used to preach here, that used to stand up and be bold for the Lord, they're washed out. Humiliated. For one thing or another, this devil is extremely good at humiliating people. But you know, the other one is the parasite. This guy likes, he likes to separate. That's what it means, to separate. A house divided, Jesus says, cannot stand. A church divided cannot stand. So I wonder how many millions of churches throughout the ages this king has won. And you know, the thing is that they are kings. The Bible says that in Daniel, when Daniel began to pray, he said that finally an angel came and he said, Daniel, you are so beloved. From the first time that you began to pray, it was heard, and I began to come to talk to you. But I was withstood by the king of Persia. I fought with him so much until finally I had to call Michael to come and help me. So you see, the angels, these devils, they are kings, just like it says in here. And they are out there and they will fight. The only way you can defeat them, beloved, is if you follow the advice that God gives you.
Amen.
You need to follow the Lord. You need to inquire of the Lord. Joshua would not have fallen if he had just inquired of the Lord. But you know, we don't like to inquire. The other one is the Hivite. The Hivite is the one that gives you wealth. But you know, let me tell you, I don't want his money. Somebody came and told me, one contractor told me the other day, he says, Trini, I made $125,000 last year. But I need to talk to you to tell you how we do it. And he began to tell me, look, what I do is I look at these homes, I research and find out who it belongs to. Then I like to go and talk to the owners and make them an offer, and I'm together with an attorney. And then I do all the talking, I do all the repairs, and the attorney does all the paperwork, and we buy it together, and we sell it together, and we split the difference. But you know, it reminded me of the time when my father-in-law passed away. The following day after the burial, an attorney came in and knocked at the door. And he came in right when my mother-in-law and everybody was so sad. And he came in and he said, you know what? And he was looking all over the house. I buy homes, and in case you need some help, I'll buy you this home and I'll give you an offer, $10,000. And of course, I opposed it. I told my mother-in-law, don't sell it. She said, no, I need the money. She was heartbroken. My brother-in-law also contradicted me. He said, no, you need to let mom do whatever she needs to do. She turned right around and sold it. A few weeks later, I went by, or about a month later, and so happened that I wind up talking to the people living there. I asked him, how much did y'all pay for this house? He said, we paid $30,000. They made $20,000. And when this contractor told me, look, we make a lot of money, Trini, but this is how it's done, I don't want nothing to do with that. But you know, that's what this Hivite does. He gives you wealth. He has given wealth to so many people in this life. I don't want nothing to do with that. Nevertheless, the world, they could care less. They don't care how they get it or what they have to do. If they have to get naked or they have to steal or they have to sell dope, it doesn't really matter to them. All they want is some wealth. There is somebody that will give it to you. His name is Hivite. But you know, the last one is the Jebusite, and this guy likes to trample. I suspect that he probably works in company with the other. He waits until you fall down, and then when you're down, he's the one that comes and kicks you. He's the one that will run all over you. He's the one that will trample you, and he loves to go after Christians. He doesn't want you to stand up. He doesn't want you to get up. They want to keep you down. They don't want you to serve the Lord. But you know, it's very important, beloved, that we keep our eyes on the Lord. He does all the fighting for us. The next one I'd like to speak about is the Gibeonites who came to Joshua. It was a different form of fighting. This was deception. They dressed the part and they took care of all the fine details, even to the shoes, even to the clothes they were wearing, even to the jugs of wine that they had, even to their bread that they got, some real moldy bread. And that's how the devil is. He's extremely good at fooling you. But then he comes and his story is extremely good. But you know, if I had been in their shoes, because they already had hurt, God had already seen the spirit of fear into these people. They already knew that they were going to be wiped out. They already knew it. And the spirit of fear had come upon all of them. And that's what the Gibeonites came and they told Joshua, hey, we already heard. We already know. We know that your God has given you this land. And we know what you've done with all the other kings. That's why they came to them with this disguise. They came to them with the lies. And of course, these guys came in and said, you know, we come from a far country. The far country, beloved, what it means is that it's trying to make you feel important. That's all they were trying to do. Me? They came from so far away just to come and see me. And you feel like maybe you're somebody that you're really not. That's exactly the same thing that happened to Hezekiah. We find it in the book of Isaiah. It's either 38 or 39. But one of the kings also sent somebody to go, and they sent them a present, and they sent them a letter. He had been sick. And of course, Hezekiah, when he found out that they come from a far country, he began to show them everything he had on his house. There was nothing that he didn't show. He was so proud. Oh, that's what this devil likes to do. He likes to fan your egotism. He likes to raise you up and make you feel like you're the only one. You're the best one. But you know, the same thing happened to Eve. When the serpent came to Eve, he also told her the same thing. You shall not surely die. You shall become as gods. That's what you're going to be. And that's exactly what the Gibeonites were doing. They were trying simply to come in and to use the lies to try to fool Joshua. But let's go to Joshua chapter 6 again, chapter 9, verse 6. On verse 7, rather. And the men of Israel said unto the high vats, peradventure you shall dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? You know, God had already told them, don't make a covenant. A covenant is still a league. God had told them there was a reason for it. But I'd like you to also go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We have the same instructions that has been given throughout the ages by God. Don't make a league with nobody. Don't make a covenant with nobody. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, the reason that I had reserved for this, that I told you a while ago from Exodus chapter 23, God had told his people, he said, you will not make, don't make any covenant with those people over there. They're idolaters. And the reason being, he says, lest they make this sin against me, and it will surely be a snare unto you. That was the reason why God has said, don't make a league with them. Because that's exactly what you're going to do. You think that this world really loves God? They don't love the Lord Jesus. When he was walking in this life, he said, they hated me without a cause. That's what was written in the Psalms also. They hated him without a cause. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He was despised and rejected of men, the Bible says. He says, if they hated me, they would also hate you. So you know, it's not that God doesn't want you to have fun. It's not that God doesn't want you to enjoy this life, and he wants you to have a good life, to be abundant, to be successful. And all the instructions that he gives you, he gives them to you for a reason. He says, if you make a covenant with them, they will surely make you sin. You will sin against me, and it will be a snare unto you. But you know, we also have the same thing with James. He tells us the same thing. He says, you adulterers and adulteresses, Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You know, we ought not to be so buddy-buddy with the world. Of course, you live in this world. You have to communicate with people. You have to go on about your business. But when it comes to making a league or making having fellowship with them, that's where God draws the line. And that's why we have to be a separated people. That's what God tells us over and over, that we need to separate ourselves. And we are not to let anybody come in and fool you and try to persuade you that you're pretty good and you're very important. It's important, beloved, that you don't have anything to do with this world. God wants you separated. He said there's no agreement. There's no agreement with the world. They will make you hate the Lord Jesus. That's why it's important also that when you marry, that you're very careful who you select. Make sure it's somebody that's really saved. Amen. Don't be getting together with somebody else who's not, because the next thing you know, you're going to have problems. Just like these Gibeonites, they came in even though they fooled Joshua. Their life was miserable after that. They did become workers, but they were the ones that carried the water. They're the ones that chopped the wood. In other words, they became servants forever. They are also the descendants of Canaan. The Bible says that Canaan had been cursed. It tells you in the Bible where Noah had cursed. He says Canaan is cursed. He will be a servant of servants. And of course, this is exactly what we're seeing here. They became servants to serve, and that's exactly what will become of you when you become together and try to have an agreement with this world. You will just be a servant. Not only that, but you'll be a servant to sin. But let me go back again. Let's go back to my text in the book of Joshua, chapter 9. Let me read to you now verse 24. Joshua chapter 9, verse 24. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servant how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee, do unto us do. You know, this is the exact same attitude that you need to have to get saved. You need to come to the point of saying, you know, I surrender. That's exactly what these people did. They surrendered. What was their choice? Either die or become servants. Either die or maybe they would somehow get in with Israel. They didn't want to die. But you know, let me tell you something. These people had heard. That's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But they not only heard, everybody else had heard. But these people believed. That's why the Bible says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. These guys did not only hear, they also believed. But you know, they came and they brought no demands. They didn't bring, and that's exactly what you have to do to get saved. You have to realize that there's nothing else. It's either life or death. It's either heaven or hell. You have no other choice. But it's up to you whether you want to take the same attitude as these Gibeonites, which were actually Hivites. They realized that this was the only way. And of course, Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus, beloved. He will pardon you. He will give you life. And that's exactly what the Lord will do. But you have to come with the same attitude and say, Lord, I bring nothing. I know that it's either I get saved or I wind up in hell, and I don't want to go to hell. And you need to just turn your life over to Him. Don't bring none of your requirements or some of the things that you would like to put in front. You come with nothing. You come empty-handed. And you say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. I ask you to save my soul and give me life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for the story of Joshua and the Gibeonites and how they humbled themselves and they received life. Lord, I pray that if anyone here has not gotten saved yet, they have not realized that it's either life or death, it's either blessing or cursing, I pray, dear Lord, that they would realize that the only way is to come to Thee. I pray that You would speak to the hearts of anyone here that feels that they're not saved, that they would make that commitment today. Lord, that they would call upon Thee. Lord, we know that Thou art faithful. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We'll stand up now and we're going to sing 249.